Next on BYUSN, Cougar football improves to 3-0 for a second straight season after a 20-point win at Wyoming. The report card grade for BYU's performance in Laredice. Plus, inside quarterback Jake Retzlaff's performance in week 3. Is the criticism he is receiving from some fans fair? He's calling it Laredice. It's another Manage Monday as ESPN's Trevor Manage joins us to recap the win over WYO. Look ahead to BYU's Big 12 opener against K-State. And who won the week in Big 12 Pick'em? Did we take down a silver medalist? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, September 16th. Who doesn't call it Laredice, Jerem? I am Spencer Linton. Yo. He is always grateful for a lack of toxicity in Laramie, Wyoming, Jerem Jordan.
I'm trying to welcome more toxicity into my house. That's why my wife introduces me to all these reality TV shows. No, just kidding. Chase Roberts, after the game, you asked him about Laredice, and here's what he said.
Honestly, we're a little disappointed with the Wyoming fans. We thought they were going to be a little more toxic, a little more crazy. No, it was fun. I loved the atmosphere, and they were wild, and it was cool, but I guess when you start scoring points on them, they start to quiet down a little bit.
Indeed, and they leave early, Jerem. They leave early.
Did they leave early?
Yes, they did.
Nice.
It was a glorious scene.
Where'd they go?
I have no idea.
What did they do that was more entertaining than that game?
Not my concern. They just weren't at the football game.
Is it hunting season?
Late in the third quarter. Yeah. Like half the stadium emptied out, late third quarter, early fourth quarter. And this was my ideal scenario.
Yes. I've seen two games in Laramie. Laramie's just, it is what it is. How was your experience, man?
Honestly,
because you guys stayed in Cheyenne.
Yes, we stayed in Cheyenne. The team stayed in Cheyenne, so we didn't like fully experience the glory of Laramie. But I'll say this: the topography, the weather, it was ideal.
Well,
75 degrees.
Yeah, second earliest game against Wyoming ever in Laramie.
Man,
it was always a November game, so it was like, oh, it's frigid.
So it was probably
windy.
A better experience for most BYU fans than they've had previously because of the time it happened.
Yeah, perhaps the last one ever. We'll see. I hope it is.
It was a little better than I thought it was going to be.
Nice!
Yes.
That's the hope for every experience. Every single one. That's great. I love it. I'm glad you made it safe.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Everybody's safe. Nothing weird happened.
Which is shocking. Nothing weird? Barrel guy didn't do anything weird?
There's a few weird things that happened in the game, which takes us to Rise and Shout as we get into what's trending.
An old rivalry. The BYU Cougars clash with the Wyoming Cowboys. The catch is made by Chase Roberts. Throws on the run to the goal line. Touchdown! What a grab! Mr. Roberts again underneath.
And the Cougars bounce back to win it 34-14.
A 20-point win for BYU. The Cougars take care of business in Laramie, and they send Barrelman home disappointed as well. He showed up.
As he has been.
Barrelman showed up.
Yeah.
Let's start with Kalani Sitake's thoughts on his team's overall performance after the win on Saturday night. Here's what he had to say.
We got Wyoming's best shot. I was proud of the way the guys played. Obviously, there's places that we can improve on. Like to get us some more rhythm, you know what I mean, as a team. Like a complimentary football. I mean, offense, other than I think that one interception, the rest of it was taking care of the football. Got a score on special teams, you know, on a return. So just really happy with the guys. Not happy about the last drive on defense, but got a lot of valuable reps for some young guys. And
all right, Jerem, you've heard from the head ball coach again.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, we were discussing what an A-plus performance would look like and laid out our specific scenarios. How would you ultimately grade BYU's performance now that the test has been taken?
Yeah, I thought it was a good performance. I thought it was a B. And here's why. I wanted 5 yards per carry rushing. They had exactly that. That was good. I wanted no turnovers. They had one giveaway and one takeaway. I wanted plus two in margin. It was even, so I didn't meet that one. I wanted 450 total. 458. Pretty close,
mm-hmm.
right? I wanted a 28-point plus win. They gave me a 20. So things that would have made it perhaps an A-minus or an A. Two field goals. Give me a couple touchdowns there. I would have liked some fourth quarter scoring, Spence. Give me the high 40s, right? 3-4 turnover-worthy throws from Jake Retzlaff sort of affects how I feel about this game a little bit, too. More on that in a moment. Jake had a tremendous game, though, overall. Don't turn it over at all, and you get closer to that. So it was close to being a B+.
Yeah.
And I like the performance. I feel encouraged in many ways. There's still issues in a couple of areas, which BYU's not going to be perfect and feeling amazing per se. There's always going to be a thing or two you want to get better at. But I'm encouraged by what BYU did. I'm happy with 3-0. This is a different kind of 3-0 than last year, Spence, which we'll probably break down tomorrow or Wednesday. But the boys are 3-0. They got out of Laramie with a 20-point win. Let's go.
I'm going to grade on the bell curve a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm going to give BYU a B+.
Nice.
Because they weren't that far off from my expectations for an A+ performance. Like you, pretty good. I wanted BYU to rush for over 4 yards a carry. They did that. It was an even 5 yards a carry. It took some quarterback running and a 28-yard run from Jake Retzlaff.
Yeah.
And even a few runs from Gary Bohannon late in the game. But BYU was at 5 yards per carry. I asked for no quarterback turnovers and +2 in the turnover margin. That's where they underperformed. Jake did turn the ball over. Frankly, he probably should have had 2. I mean,
maybe more, bro.
Maybe 3.
To me, there were 3 or 4 turnover-worthy throws.
So BYU dodges a bullet there, and then that's where the grade comes down. They did not perform well in that part of the test, but they were well over 400 yards of total offense. I wanted the defense to hold the Wyoming to 10 points or fewer. They scored 14, but that last touchdown, in many ways, kind of a garbage touchdown.
2s and 3s in there.
Yes.
Which, by the way, BYU plays a lot of people on defense. Like, they play 3 deep at several positions. I'm impressed by the depth. So those guys weren't necessarily, like, new when they were out there. So I am disappointed that they scored that second one. Because it was guys that had been playing. It wasn't like totally new guys.
So you joined Kalani there. Yeah.
It should have been one score.
It was frustrating.
Yeah.
Granted,
but in the end, all good.
There was a penalty or two that aided that drive. It just was kind of an ugly finish to the game
offense,
for BYU's defense.
There was some holding in the red zone a couple of times, and that crew had nowhere to go after that game. Like, that, it was weird. I was like, what was that call?
I'll give him a B+ because lest we forget. Well, BYU crushes the expectations of Las Vegas again.
3-0
going
against
into the
spread.
Game, going into the game, 3-0. BYU was a 9-point favorite, single-digit favorite, and you win by 20. I wanted it to be 34-7. I wanted it to be 34-7.
At halftime, I'm like, give me 41-7 here.
You texted that to me, in fact.
Yeah. Let's give me 41-7. Get the boys out of there, Spence.
Yeah. So 34-14, but it was good enough for a B+ on my bell curve.
Hey, when I walked out of the testing center and I saw a B+ up there, I was
great.
I was stoked.
Yes.
It didn't happen that often.
Every teacher grades differently.
Yeah.
When the test is really hard, a B+ might be like 74%.
Right? Which BYU plays Big 12 play starting Saturday. It's going to be tougher.
It'll be a more difficult test for sure. Yep. We've talked about Jake Retzlaff's performance. A little bit of a shaky start. He was better in the second half. Looking at his stats, this was clearly his best performance as a starting quarterback at BYU. He was graded
against FBS teams.
He was graded the highest Big 12 quarterback number of any quarterback over the weekend, according
fourth
to Pro Football Focus.
Fourth among P4s.
Okay.
That includes your boy Arch Manning, who's now the guy.
Wow. How about that, too? Jake had to work through some frustrations, and he talked about that with me after the game.
I remember Darius on the sideline. I was pissed because I missed him at the end of the half on the fade in the red zone. And I'm like, bro, my bad. I'll get you on one. He's like, don't got to get me on one, bro. I'm trying to get one for the team. And that's how we all feel. We're trying to get one for the team. We're not trying to get our own touchdowns. We're trying to get it for the team.
This is a unique take because a lot of fans were concerned when they saw the interaction between Jake and Darius on the sideline after he missed Darius on a couple of scoring opportunities.
Darius was very frustrated. And it's good for him to be frustrated because that means you hold yourself to a standard. Jake in practice holds these guys to a standard too when they don't run the right route or turn at the right depth or whatever. They hold each other accountable. I actually like that. I don't like passive-aggressive. I would rather you be aggressive-aggressive with each other and just talk it out. So let's talk about his numbers. Jake Retzlaff, 22 of 36, 291, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, 61% completion percentage, rating of 151, 6 carries, 62 yards. Not sacked, by the way. 10 yards per rush, which is important. So I looked up the 4 categories against FBS teams where this is his career high now in his 7th start. Passing touchdowns, rating, yards per carry, yards per attempt was at 8, which is a good number. Not to mention the fact that on non-sack carries, he's averaging 5.5 yards per carry. And then his yards per attempt is 8.9, 18th amongst P4 quarterbacks. He's having a good start to the year. My only concern is the turnover turnovers or turnover-worthy plays. Like we said, I felt like PFF only gave him two turnover-worthy plays for the game. I felt like there were three or four throws that could have been picked off. I'm concerned against Kansas State and Baylor and Oklahoma State and so on that maybe those turn into turnovers and
Kansas
that swings
State
the game.
Kansas State specifically, because that's what they do.
They're really good at taking the ball away. Although they only have three this year, but one of them was a scoop and score for 60 yards that won the two-lane game and a pick in the end zone to end the game. So they are good at that. So Jake's having a good year. I am pleased with the progress. It just makes me nervous that there are a couple of plays that could have been turnovers. And against Wyoming, BYU's still going to win the game. But it's against some of these ranked Power 5 teams, namely Kansas State this Saturday night, which is going to be a fun game, where that might swing the game in a way that doesn't help BYU win it. So got to take care of that. But overall, Jake Kretzloff is going in the right direction, which is awesome.
BYU wins a 10th straight over Wyoming with that 34-14 win. Always nice to get out of Laramie with a win. BYU hasn't lost in Laramie since 2003, and who knows when or if these teams are going to play again in the foreseeable future.
They may not, but get used to hoops because we're playing in hoops this year and in Laramie next year.
So BYU
at the Delta Center this year.
We'll be going back to Laramie in some capacity. It was good to see Jake get that touchdown pass to Darius Lassiter late in the game, too. Yep. They got one for the team.
And that was a great Hans Olsen on BYU radio. I'm weird, dude. I listen to TV and radio at the same time sometimes. I'm trying to hear what they're both saying. Hans said his pocket navigation was really good. He stepped up in the pocket.
Yes.
I love that throw. That was my favorite throw.
He threw a dart after he got through the blitz, and he the coverage was breaking down. He found a way. So it was nice to see those two connect after a little bit of weirdness on the sideline.
Because three catches on nine targets is not good, by the way. Missed him six times.
Which is why Darius is understandably frustrated.
It's got to be six with nine, not three with nine.
Well, BYU got quite the jump start coming out of the halftime locker room.
Yes, they did.
And it brought a totally different vibe to the sideline. Thanks to the first kickoff return for a touchdown in a decade.
Wow.
And the first on the road, which you pointed out to me a moments after it happened. First time BYU had done on the road in 26 years.
Record breaker sports with this.
Holy cow. Keelan Marion's return for a touchdown was electrifying. Let's watch it again, shall we?
It's a voiceover, so we talk over it.
Okay, we'll just go ahead and talk over it.
Oh, isn't that funny? Okay, I love the blocks here. Look at Sione Moa coming down here. He just, Talon Alfred and Sione Moa, 25 and 30. Poof!
Great block at the end. I asked Keelan Marion if he ran out of gas, and he was like, no. I was waiting for my blocks.
He navigated like Jake did in the pocket that really well because he had to slow down. He had to cut back. What a play, man. What a play. And that really took the wind out of Wyoming's sails. At that point, it felt like it was over, right?
Yes.
Like it felt, because it was kind of a game.
The game was over at that point.
It was kind of a game, and then that happened, and like, nah, you're done.
Yeah, the Cowboys were cooked.
W-Y over is what I tweeted. Come on, baby. Johnny Linehan, hilarious. He said, it was worth 10 straight years of starting from the 15-yard line. That's really funny.
Oh, brutal. Because
it's hard when you don't get to the 25 and you bring it out. It's like, dude, you lost yardage. You lost yardage. But BYU returns, as you mentioned, a first kickoff return for a TD in 10 years, first on their own 26. Here's Keelan Marion with you on the kickoff return touchdown.
I know the first one, the guys and coaches was kind of on me because I read it wrong the first time in the first half. So I was kind of beat up on myself about it, went into halftime, and Coach Kalani just told me, Key, hit it and trust it. So we came out, I told coaches which return I wanted, and I hit it and trusted the guys. And I wouldn't be able to do it if it weren't for the kickoff return team. So major shout out to them guys.
Hit it and trust. I love Keelan, by the way. He's so fun.
His personality is fantastic.
Great. He's great.
Yes, and Kalani Sitake.
Look at Kalani on the sideline.
He was very quick to point out that is all Kelly Papinga. They have been setting this thing up for a long time. They just needed Keelan to trust it, as he pointed out. To hit it.
Hit it and trust.
And trust it.
Love that.
And they did. So shout out to K-Pop for getting it done. Great special teams play.
Big play. It doesn't like win you the game here, but essentially it won the game early in the second half. Then BYU kind of relaxed there. A couple other quick notes. Really explosive BYU, 14 of those plays. Defense, three games, 15 points and 275 yards or fewer in all three. Awesome.
BYU is by... in the country, they are giving up the fewest yards per play of any FBS team, I believe.
That's great. I love that stat. BYU 2-0 on the road this year. They were 1-5 last year. BYU winning on the road. Keanu Hill was live on IG after the game. He said he was okay, so that's good. Expect him against Kansas State based on that. Gary Bohannon, completed a pass, 700 days between completions for him.
Wow.
To 22. And then I mentioned the Darius one, 3 catches on 9 targets. Got to dial that in. But, hey, good performance. One thing BYU needs to figure out a little bit better is third down, Spence.
Oh, boy.
You tweeted during the game, BYU's 0 for their last 16 in third downs. And I was like, sorry, what? They're 4 of 24 in the last two games total. Are you concerned about this?
Yeah, I'm concerned. I had a staff member on the sideline say, after BYU had failed on another third down, say to me, you realize that that's 16 consecutive third downs where BYU is not converted? And
that's
like, what?
That's a lot.
16? But BYU is converting on fourth down so much that it wasn't like computing at such a high degree.
Not computing.
But yes.
BYU's 8 of 10 all year on fourth. They're awesome.
Which is incredible, right? Because they're so good on fourth down, that third down stat has been glossed over a little bit because they're still moving the ball down the field.
And Aaron Roderick says, we're not concerned about third downs. We're concerned about whether, like, if it's in a place where we're going for it on fourth down, did we get that fourth down?
Here's why I am concerned. Because BYU is consistently in third and long. They're in third and long so that they are using that approach of, well, let's get 6 yards here and then we'll have a fourth and short, which is manageable.
Yes.
I would like to have BYU be in third and short scenarios, which they just aren't through three games very often.
Yes.
And that probably is because the run game is not where it needs to be. BYU does not have a wealth of third and short situations. They have a lot of fourth and short, which they convert to their credit. But we're consistently seeing 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11.
It was 6.7 average.
Not good.
So you're hoping that that can be like
3rd and 4.
3 or 4.
Yes. Yeah, so that's why I'm concerned. I want 3rd and short scenarios where you don't have to feel like, okay, if we can get 6 or 7 yards here on 3rd and 11, then we can have a 4th and 4 and we can take a gamble.
And they're at midfield. They're not like at their own, they're not at their minus 32.
These gambles against Kansas State and other Big 12 teams are going to be way more risky than they are against Wyoming and against Southern Illinois and even SMU. Yeah. Like, the risk reward takes on a different definition when you get into these high level opponents.
So succeed on first down and you got to be able to run, which BYU's gone 5 deep on the running backs. It's wild, man. Hopefully LJ and Hinkley are available. By the way, Hinkley Ropati expecting his first child any day now.
Congrats to Hinkley and his wife.
Yeah, best of luck with that. That's always a wild experience. Yeah.
Listen, hope everything goes smoothly with the delivery and that
then deliver in the end zone.
Exactly. Then come back and play against Kansas State.
Come on.
Because BYU needs that running back depth. What BYU does have is wide receiver depth, led by Chase Roberts.
It took us 18 minutes to mention Chase.
Well, we mentioned him with the toxicity chant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
True. Wyoming.
His production, I mean. His production. Because he was amazing.
Well, he's on pace after another 100-yard-plus performance for 1,052 yards receiving this season.
Mm.
Two 100-yard games of the three played this year. Will Chase break 1,000 yards for the season receiving?
I'm going to say no, but I think he gets to 850. I think Chase is the best receiver on the team. I want him to be 1A and Darius Lasser to be 1B. Like you said, there's a lot of depth here. Chase is making incredible catches. Like, as long as you give him a chance, he's going to haul it in. So he had, 6 for 129 on 8 targets. That is awesome. Chase is on the case.
Yes.
He has 4 100-yard games in his career, 2 are against Power 5 teams. He needs to have and look at this. I like the Chase that stands over the guy.
I talked to him about it.
Yes.
I loved that.
I like that guy because Chase is like the AP of the team, if you will, as a missionary. Like, you know, assist to the president. But he gets after it. So I love it, man. I don't think he breaks 1,000. I would like to see it. I think he gets to around 850.
Will you allow me to throw in a bowl game?
No.
You won't. So we're talking regular season
if
only?
If there's a bowl game. Yeah, because I want to see where he's at and what the matchup is.
Because I believe that BYU, and I believe BYU will play in a bowl game. Yeah. I believe that he will go over 1,000 yards in 13 games played.
That'd be great. I think the competition's really good. He's going to get the best DB corner from every team. Right, so it's going to be a challenge, but that'd be great.
Mm.
In a Power 5 league, have a 1,000-yard receiver, that'd be awesome.
And I should clarify, I said BYU had the best defense in yards per play FBS. It's the Big 12. Like they're the best team in the Big 12 right now at 3.9 yards per play as a defense, which is amazing.
BYU's 13th nationally.
But they are the best in the Big 12.
Yeah.
It's outstanding.
CFBstats.com. I'll just give you all the stuff we look up.
It's our great question of the day. How would you grade BYU's overall performance in the win at Wyoming at Jumbo Jimbo 2021?
So.
On X says, B+. He's with me. Offense scored points. Rushing attack wasn't there outside of Jake. Defense held strong other than a couple of plays.
Yep.
Special teams, beautiful kickoff return touchdown, made field goals. Only one bad punt. All right, B+. You said B, I said B+. Mm-hmm. Favorable. Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Okay, Coordinator's Corner today at 2 Eastern time. Kelly Papinga, Jay Hill. What a performance from special teams. What a performance from this defense again. Check it out coming up at 2 Eastern time. You want the real inside scoop on what's going on? Like, watch the shows. Okay, Coordinator's Corner is an awesome one. Check it out today at 2 Eastern.
Still on the way, it's another Mattich Monday. How would Trevor grade BYU's performance against Wyoming? And what does he think of Jake Retzlaff's overall performance through 3 weeks? This is BYUSN.
Always fun to play a tough opponent.
The guys around me made a lot of great plays for me.
So they kind of gave me that spirit and lifted me to go out there and just trust them and to trust them that they're going to do their job.
We got better from last week to this week, and looking forward to making an improvement from this week to the next.
We are live in Studio B. Happy Monday. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan for a third consecutive week. This is a winning Monday for BYU football. And to help us celebrate and push forward to a huge matchup with Kansas State is ESPN College Football Insider, expert and analyst. He is a national champion at BYU. Trevor Mattich is back for another Mattich Monday. Trevor, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. 3-0 looks really good. And is if you don't look too deeply, then it looks great. So it's a good place to start the day.
Okay, let's just start there. What are you alluding to?
Well, listen, it's always tough to win at Laramie. Wyoming sees this as their one of this a Super Bowl for them. So I'm really happy for the win. I think there were some great things about that game. I thought the defense was once again magnificent in the way they attacked, the way they had so many different varied coverages and blitzes and things that they did to keep Wyoming off balance mentally. And then they just went and attacked them and kept them off balance physically by hitting them in the mouth. And I thought it was just wonderful the way they played. The offense overall played well considering their top two running backs were out. I was happy with a lot of things that quarterback Jake Retzlaff did. I'm not happy with 9 penalties. I'm not happy with they did, you know, there were 2 for 11 on third down. So I'm not happy with that at all in terms of consistency and moving the ball. And I'm not happy with, there was only one turnover, but there were other plays that maybe a better defense would have gotten more turnovers. And so there are things that they still need to clean up on offense.
Let's talk about the quarterback play, because some of those things that you're alluding to were some bad throws from Jake Retzlaff that should have been intercepted but weren't. But to his credit, he fought back and he put together, statistically speaking, his best performance against an FBS opponent, Trevor. So what do you think of Jake Retzlaff's overall work through 3 games for BYU in 2024?
Overall, you see him growing. The thing he does best is he's a baller. I mean, he is just an absolute competitor, and he's out there making plays sideways and upside down and right side up and everything else. And he makes a lot of those plays at times when other quarterbacks wouldn't be able to do it. You know, he'll fire the ball under pressure into a tight window when it's complete. And if you do that once, it might be lucky. You do it twice, you might be really lucky, but he does it a lot. Problem is then once in a while he'll make a throw that's maybe not as good as you would want it to be. And it's either picked off or it's exposed to being picked off, and then the defense doesn't finish the play. These are things that he needs to work on. I know that they want him to continue to be aggressive. They do not want him to play timid football. And I get that. There's a difference between aggressive and reckless. And he will continue to grow as a quarterback as he continues to hone that fine line between aggressive and reckless. Because remember this, that he's making plays, a lot of plays. But more football games are lost than are won. Meaning more often you'll lose a game because of mistakes than you will win a game because of a big play. And so he needs to continue in his growth at the craft of quarterbacking, in knowing when to take the risk and when not to take the risk. Overall, he's been exciting to watch. He is a big reason that they're 3-0. I'm not being critical of him, but I'm just saying these are some of the things that he can continue to improve. And as he does, his performance and his contribution to those wins will get even bigger.
Jake Gretzloff has been needed in the run game. He was needed on Saturday, 6 for 62, averaged 10 yards per carry. In non-sack rushes, he's 5.5 yards per carry. Is he a necessary component of the run game given the injuries at running back right now?
He's an indispensable component. And Wyoming knew that, and they couldn't stop him anyway. I thought that Coach Roderick, offensive coordinator, did a really good job of scheming up running plays for him to allow him to get free and to have space to run, regardless of the fact that the defense knew that he was the guy who was the only real threat on the ground. I mean, you might have some of the young running backs get, you know, 3-4 yards here and there. The defense, that won't bother them. Jake has the ability to go rip off 10, 20 yards, and that does bother the defense. And so he will continue to be indispensable running the ball against Kansas State, because I'm not sure that either Rapati or Martin will be fully healthy if they do come back. I have no idea what their status would be by the time we get to game time, but I imagine they'd be a little bit banged up. And if I'm Kansas State's defense, I'm expecting that the main running game will still go through Jake Retzloff, the quarterback. And that's one of the things he's done so well. When teams aren't playing their best, when there are holes in the roster because of injury or other reasons, great quarterbacks will elevate the team around them. And Jake has had a lot of great play where he has elevated the team around him, even when they've had injuries at running back, since that's the specific thing we're talking about now.
It's another Matt, It's Monday on BYU Sports Nation. Trevor, as you look at the offensive line and consider what BYU has done in the run game and pass protection, just their overall body of work, are you ready to say that the offensive line is clearly better than they were last year through three games?
I believe they are clearly better. I think they're playing together better. I think individually their technique is better. I think they're finishing better. They still have things they need to improve. And one thing that stood out against Wyoming is just assignments and technique on pass protection. There were times when one guy was a little confused about who he was supposed to pick up on a given blitz, and so he wasn't quite in front of the guy. There were a couple of times where an offensive lineman didn't slide all the way in front of the pass rusher he was supposed to get in front of. There were a couple of times when in the running game, when they double teamed, one of the guys came off a little too soon or didn't give quite enough help. These are things that are either mentally able to focus in on and fix that, or they're things that the chemistry will continue to improve as they continue to work together. There's still three games with a new offensive line coach asking them to do things in a slightly different way. It takes a little bit of time. Overall, I am really encouraged by what I see from them, and I see the possibility for improvement to have a very, very clear path.
3-0 against the spread as well. How are you feeling about 3-0 this year compared to last year's 3-0?
Well, I love it because the defense is much more dominant this year. I think they've got more depth on defense this year. Jake Retzloff is, he wasn't part of that 3-0, but he looks to be a quarterback that can take this team a long ways, as long as he can continue to minimize the mistakes. I mean, one turnover against Wyoming, he was involved in three against SMU. So you can see the improvement there. The wide receivers have got experience, size, speed. I love the wide receiver group and the tight end group. You put everything together and you see a group that can win without counting on mistakes from the other side. You see a group that can rotate in more players and keep them fresh. You see a quarterback that's more capable now of executing the system. When Jake was playing at the end of last year as the primary starter, it looked a lot like he wasn't quite sure what was going on, but he was out there balling like crazy. Well, now he has a much better feel for what's going on from a standpoint of what he's being asked to do within the schemes. And that makes this team better. So I think this 3-0 is a whole lot different from last year's 3-0.
Trevor, As you look at Kansas State and the matchup with BYU, what is the biggest issue or concern for BYU as they prepare for the Wildcats?
Well, I'll give you two words. Avery Johnson, Kansas State's quarterback, is a dual threat, and he is a terrific runner. I don't mean not good. He is a very scary, fast, slippery runner. I mean, he's averaging about 7 yards per throw. He's averaging about 7 yards per rushing attempt also. So far, no one's really been able to figure out how to slow this guy down. And keep in mind that last year's starter, Will Howard, is at Ohio State now. He's good enough to start for the Buckeyes. But Avery Johnson basically beat him out, is what I hear out of Kansas State, and that's why Will Howard transferred. This is the guy that BYU will be facing. And Wyoming's quarterback is a dual threat. He did a few good things on the ground against BYU's defense. Overall, BYU's defense did a good job of slowing that down and keeping that from really hurting them a lot. It'll take a much bigger effort against Kansas State, though, because their offensive line is much better than Wyoming's, and Avery Johnson is just super scary. And what they'll need to do against that guy is slow down a little bit. In other words, they were coming with their hair on fire rushing the passer against Wyoming. Against Kansas State, it's more important that they keep Johnson in the pocket. If he is going to beat them, they need to make sure he beats them from the pocket with his arm. He's a good thrower. He's not incredibly accurate, but he's accurate enough. But when he gets out on the move, when he crosses that line of scrimmage and runs, or when he buys time scrambling around on the edges and then throws the ball, he is incredibly dangerous. And so, ironically, the way that BYU will have to slow him down is to slow down the pass rush just a beat to make sure that nobody gets out of their lane.
They did a good job of that, the BYU defense, that is, against SMU, right, with the rushing quarterback. And Svoboda was okay, but playing from behind the other night. Avery Johnson, by the way, 64% passer, 163 a game. So he's not throwing for a ton, but he's running for 62 yards a game. So he is dangerous, as you mentioned. BYU and Kansas State, this is an opportunity, Trevor, for BYU to validate this 3-0 start and for Jake Retzlaff to really show out. Yet it feels like if Jake Retzlaff takes care of the ball, BYU's really got a shot in this one because K-State has a knack for scoring non-offensive touchdowns. Is it as simple as Jake Retzlaff taking care of the ball?
The whole team taking care of the ball. The whole offense taking care of the ball. But yes, it is. Remember, this is a theme that we'll continue to focus on over the course of the season. BYU needs to win first and foremost by being more disciplined than the other side. They need to play more cleanly. That means penalties, turnovers, missed assignments, indecision, things like that. And that's the first thing they need to do. It's really good that BYU skill players are outstanding. And so playing clean is number one, but then number two, to be able to spread the ball around to those guys, it gives BYU a good chance to validate it. Kansas State, they basically shut down the Arizona offense last week, and Arizona's got some outstanding players on that offense. Well, guess what? So does BYU. And now when they see that film, they'll be able to kind of see what they did, and they'll be able to build a game plan. I'm really, really encouraged by the way that the schemes of BYU's offense have been called. You know, there have been a lot of times now against Wyoming that there were passing plays that schemed to get one guy open, where they're running pick plays, where Keanu Hill had a touchdown early, where the receivers ran the defense deep, the secondary, and then Keanu Hill at tight end was just blocking. Then he leaked out, caught the ball in a ton of space, and ran in for about a 20-yard touchdown. It was things like that where you are scheming to get a guy open. BYU is doing a great job of that of late, and I'm really glad to see that because against a defense like Kansas State that they don't really make mistakes, you got to figure out a way to create space for your ball carriers, your skill people to go. So these are all things that I think that BYU is getting better at. Kansas State, I think, is, what, 13th in the nation right now? And if BYU is able to pull this off, you talk about validating the 3-0 start. It's much more than validating. It's sort of an announcement. They haven't arrived yet if they win this game, but, boy, they're walking up the steps.
Trevor Maddich is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, let's finish with this. In the new 16-team Big 12, through 3 weeks, who are your top five Big 12 teams at the moment?
I think Utah's the best. I'm assuming that Cam Rising will be able to go. I'm not sure what the status of his hand injury is. But Utah overall on both sides of the ball is really strong. Oklahoma State has been up and down, but the fact that they're quarterback Alan Bowman had such a massive game last week when their running game wasn't working really is good sign for Oklahoma State. Kansas State, I think, is up there in the top. USF is now one of the best teams, I think, in the conference. I mean, they were really good last year, but I think they ran into a bit of a buzzsaw, much like BYU did as entering the conference for the first time. But I think they've got the ability to make a lot of noise in this conference, and I think at the end they'll be in that top tier of the Big 12. Iowa State is a team that's under the radar, but they returned almost all of their production from last year, including their starting quarterback, Rocco Becht. And Iowa State's usually at its best when people aren't talking about them in the preseason. I think their defense is stout. I think their offense is effective and efficient. And I think they're also one of the best teams in this conference.
Trevor, just to clarify, you like UCF at number four right now? Did you give those an order?
I do.
Wow.
I like. If you put them in order, yeah. But see, you can jumble the order. You know, with a healthy Cam Rising, I think you've got Utah and then jumble the next four. And I think you could, but this is how deep the Big 12 is. I mean, this is a team that had as many as nine different programs mentioned as potential Big 12 champions preseason, because there's so many teams that have a lot of great things going for them. USF is one of those teams.
Mm. Always the college football scholar and well-spoken. Great insight, Trevor. We appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, guys.
ESPN's Trevor Maddich. Back for another Maddich Monday on BYU Sports.
And we'll break down a crazy weekend of Big 12 games coming up. After further review, reviews what happened at Wyoming. That's what they do. They do it after, which is great. Tomorrow night, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app as the boys break it down.
How did the Cougars in the NFL fare over the weekend? We'll discuss all of that. And what happened on this date in Cougar football history that you need to remember? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Now it's time to discuss what happened on this date in Cougar football history as we continue our celebration of the 100th season of BYU football. Jerem, let's rewind.
September 16th, 1972, a young, aspiring head coach named LaBelle Edwards plays his first game, Here's some images from the program. Make sure you go down to P.E. Ashton and get you that coupon. A win versus Kansas State. Oh, Kansas State week. 32-9. This picture's from the New York Times. How about that? First win for LaBelle was against K-State.
How
on
about
K-State
it?
Week. Throw back to the, you know, the helmets that just have the two wires.
And so convincingly in a 7-4 season in 1972. Pete Van Valkenburg doing some work for
leading
sure.
The country in rushing.
Wow. Also on this date in Cougar football history, because if one great moment on September 16th is good, then two are better.
Skycam Spence.
BYU welcoming Keaton Slovis.
I remember him.
And 24th-ranked USC into LaBelle Edwards Stadium. Late in the fourth quarter, Zach Wilson running it in from 16 yards out to give BYU a lead. USC forced overtime. And in the OT, BYU leading by three. It's Diane Gawoluku picking off Keaton Slovis to seal the win. Fans storm the field. Down go the Trojans.
I remember in the postgame show, Spence, I was like, yeah, we have so many highlights. There's 15 minutes worth of highlights. They're like, what are we doing? Cut it down to five.
Let's play all 15
minutes. We interrupted
minutes.
It. I was like, what am I doing?
Oh, get awesome stuff. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU football beats Wyoming 34-14 Saturday night. 3-0 on the season for the fourth time in the last 5 years. Jake Retzlaff led the offense. 291 passing, three touchdowns, 62 yards rushing. He had 77% of BYU's total offense. Keelan Marion returned to kickoff 103 yards for a touchdown. BYU's first kickoff return for a TD in 10 years. Up next, BYU's Big 12 opener against number 13 Kansas State Wildcats, a 7-point favorite. Late kick, 8:30 Saturday night Mountain Time. And the kick time for Baylor in 2 weeks has been selected in the 6-day window, meaning we won't know until Sunday.
All right, let's get to some Cougars in the NFL, and there are quite a few. Fred Warner was unbelievable, led the 49ers with 9 tackles, a sack, a tackle for loss, an interception, and a forced fumble. if Fred could do more, then the 49ers might have won, but he can only do so much as a defender.
What a great day, Spence.
Kyle Van Noy, 3 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss.
How did he play with an orbital fracture?
He's
let alone
warrior.
Have 3 TFLs and 2 sacks? That's amazing.
He's a warrior. But he, too, with a great performance in a loss to the Raiders, 26-23. Taysom Hill, 3 carries for 18 yards, but had to leave the game due to a chest injury, was checked out at the hospital, but was cleared and flew home with the team. So good news there. He's questionable moving forward. Jamal Williams with the Saints as well, 8 carries, 39 yards, in a New Orleans rout of the Dallas Cowboys at Jerry's World, 44-19.
Michael Davis had a tackle for the Commanders in a 21-18 win over the Giants. If you like field goals, that was a fun one. Ryan Rico, 2 punts for an average of 49 with a longer 53 for the Bengals. In the Chiefs and refs, 26-25. Tough game for Kingsley Suamatia, called through holding twice, gave up 2 sacks. He was pulled in the fourth quarter. Hopefully Kingsley gets back in there and plays well. He's a good player. Tyler Algier and the Falcons travel to Philadelphia to play the Eagles tonight.
Number 17, BYU women's volleyball. Lost in 5 sets again, this time to number 12 Oregon on Friday night. 3 Cougars finished with double-digit kills. Claire Little with 17, Blakely Bobick with 12, and Brielle Kemavor with 10. But the team hit a season-low 175, so BYU now 4-3 on the season. And they're so close, Jerem.
3 matches in a row, losing by 5, by 2! I mean, this team's real close to being 7-0 and inside the top 10. Young team, they're figuring it out. Big games with Utah State and Utah Valley this week at home.
Let's go.
Men's tennis opened the season this past weekend at the Boise State Dar Walters Classic. 8 Cougars competed, picking up 9 total wins in the tournament.
BYU men's golf tees off the season this morning at the Bearcat Invitational in Cincinnati. BYU will compete in a 17-team field and will play 2 18-hole rounds today.
Sticking with golf, congrats to Patrick Fishburne, who finished 3rd at the ProCore Championship on the PGA Tour this past weekend, shooting 14 under par. That's a nice paycheck of 414 Gs. That's awesome. Zach Blair finished tied for 13th, 9 under par. He got 86.5 Gs.
And congratulations to Ashley Hatch, scored a brace and her 50th goal for the Washington Spirit of the National Women's Soccer League in a 3-0 win over the Houston Dash.
They were heard to sing, "You're so nice." Congrats, Ashley. That's awesome.
After the break, how did the silver medalist Kenneth Rooks fare in his Big 12 Pick'em segment?
Come on, we can take him, Spence.
Did he win the week? This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Hey, let's look back on what happened throughout the entirety of the Big 12 in week number 3, including some notable scores and notes. Big 12 teams played 5 combined road games against group of 5 opponents.
Oh, and not alone, I guess.
5-0 in that regard. BYU obviously winning at Wyoming. UCF beat TCU in a wild game in the first conference matchup of the entire season. UCF was down 21 in that game. 4 teams are in this week's AP poll: number 12 Utah, number 13 Kansas State, who's in Provo on Saturday night, number 14 Oklahoma State, who matches up with Utah, and then number 20 Iowa State. Arizona drops out of the rankings after getting beat up on by Kansas State. Cougars did receive 2 votes in this week's AP poll. 1 voter from Maryland. 1 voter.
Who picked BYU 24.
Put him at number 24 in his poll.
Interesting. I had him number 12. That's weird. Yeah.
Okay. Just that said, let's get to our Big 12 Pick'em recap. Our guest picker was none other than Kenneth Rooks on Friday.
Silver medalist in the steeplechase in the Olympics. Ever heard of him? Okay. Number 14, Kansas State, beat number 20, Arizona. This one was not a game, 31-7. Wow. Arizona scoreless on its final 8 possessions. K-State ran for 237, another one of those weird non-conference games. We all had K-State. Pitt and West Virginia, the backyard brawl. Ugh. We all 3 of us missed this one. Pitt wins by 4, 38-34. Pitt scored the game-winning touchdown with 32 seconds left. Colorado State. Does that have a name? Rocky Mountain something?
The Rocky Mountain rivalry?
I thought that was Utah and Colorado. No, just kidding. 28-9, Colorado won. Kenneth had that one. You and I did not. Colorado State turned over 4 times.
Yikes. Can't.
Rocky Mountain.
It's the Rocky Mountain showdown.
Oh, that's cute.
Okay, I knew it was something like that. Hey, big win for Colorado.
They do play for the Centennial Cup. It's a big one.
Let's keep it rolling. UCF 35, TCU 34.
Game of the week!
Mentioned it moments ago, but TCU led by 21 in the third quarter. R.J. Harvey ran for 180 yards, two touchdowns for UCF. K.J. Jefferson connecting with Kobe Hudson with 30 seconds left for the game-winning touchdown. Again, first Big 12 Conference and game of the season.
TCU had a 58-yard field goal to win wide right, and I think it was probably short.
58 yards. Oh, goodness.
It was during the BYU-Wyoming game, so I was like jumping around.
Kenneth picked TCU in that game. We both picked UCF.
We got lucky.
And got lucky, sure. Baylor, big over Air Force, 31-3. The Bears outscored the Cadets 25-0 after halftime to end a 9-game home losing streak to FBS teams.
Baylor in here next week. Again, we don't know the time yet. We'll know on Sunday.
All three of us picked that one correctly with Baylor as the victor.
Yep.
Utah 38, Utah State 21.
That was a game for a minute.
It was weird early. Utah State was up 14-3 late in the first half, but Isaac Wilson in his first start for the Utes throws for 239 yards and three touchdowns. All three of us correctly choosing Utah, who was a heavy favorite.
It hurts, but it was accurate.
And then all three of us got BYU over Wyoming.
I'm not picking against BYU.
So, in our Big 12 pick'em this week, Jeremy and I tie at 5-2, our guest picker Kenneth Ricks also with a record of 5-2.
Oh,
Kenneth,
so he's number one.
Takes the lead.
He takes the lead.
Over
look at
Jonathan
that. Okay.
Tavernari and BYU men's basketball head coach Kevin Young.
Oh, Kenneth Rook takes a late lead again? That's awesome.
Holds on.
Very nice. Very nice.
Holding on.
I can't wait to see who we have Friday. Okay, that'll be good. BYU football with Klein Satake coming up tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app as the coach looks ahead to Kansas State coming into town Saturday night. LES going to be rocking for that one.
We gave you our grades earlier in the program. How would all of you grade BYU's performance in Laramie? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
This program's on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps or listen to the pod. Subscribe, rate, and review.
How would you grade BYU football's performance in the 20-point win at Wyoming? Our question of the day answered by at WearBlue1 on X, who says B+. BYU played well, but there's still room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
A+ for Marion returning a kickoff for the first time in 10 years. Kevin.i.217 on Instagram says B. Dominated the game, but the run game and the risky throws are still a concern heading into the Big 12.
Yeah, WearBlue1 had the B+ that you said. I had a B, and I have concerns about sustainable run game and some turnover-worthy throws.
Yes, for sure.
So, yeah, same line of thinking. That's great.
At Doc Worley on X answers, overall, B. Okay. Offense, B-, no run game. Well, there was some run game.
Yeah.
They averaged 5 yards a carry.
Yeah, I like 5 yards a carry. Trust me, after last year, we like 5 yards a carry. Just the third time since the start of last year, 5 yards per carry in a game.
Sure. No real running back performance that was notable, but the run game was there with the quarterbacks,
yes,
which is going to be a thing for BYU all year.
I don't see how BYU is going to do it without Jake.
Exactly.
Because LJ and Hinkley's status is unknown. If we knew that they were completely healthy and ready for Saturday, well, that's different. But I still think you need Jake in the run game to mix it up.
Yeah. Doc Worley continues, Retzloff, questionable throw and decisions. On some occasions, Jake made a lot of great throws.
Well, in the decision count, it was way higher great decisions than not.
Yes.
Just those three or four, one of which was picked off, really concerns me against like a Kansas State team. Granted, Kansas State's been giving up 236 passing, only 80 in the run game.
The fascination BYU with the backup quarterback at BYU when there is a quarterback battle in camp is always wild.
I tweeted out at halftime, what do you want to see, Cougar Nation? Like, getting after it. Jeez.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare, elevated in from at Arizona MCC on X, who says, B overall. BYU faced the worst defense they'll see all year.
True.
If they put up these numbers against a Big 12 team, grade scores higher.
Yeah, big challenge with Kansas State. It was much better. Good defense, opportunistic defense. Granted, like I just said, they allow some teams to throw. Tulane and Arizona like to throw, so they had some yards. And Arizona was playing from behind the whole time.
BYU's defense will be tested weekend.
I think they're ready for it, Spence. They've been amazing. 15 points or fewer, 275 yards or less allowed in all three. That's
and they've
great.
Seen three running quarterbacks.
Yes, yeah. When will they see a passing quarterback? Traditional passing quarterback. Allen Bowman, Oklahoma State?
Noah Fafita will be the first on October 12th.
Just
Arizona.
Just straight passer, yeah.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
You mentioned it earlier, but let's say it again because it's awesome. The brace for Ashley Hatch and her 50th goal in NWSL. She is the greatest player in BYU women's soccer history, given what she's done at the professional level and with the United States.
No doubt about it. Great stuff, great show, another winning Monday. Our thanks to today's guest, ESPN's Trevor Maddich.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Terry McEwen, who was on that 1972 BYU football team. Jerem, we'll see you for Coordinator's Corner, 2 Eastern, noon Mountain on the BYU TV app. Go Cougs.